Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Frankie Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letizia.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letizia in the standing. Lambert! There to reply. Barry in the heart. History made.
It's James Beattie. Oh, Belton.
Barry for the hat trick.
Lifts it, and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin the Moscow Mush Middleton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush, and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, episode 113. Kevin, what are we going with this time?
We're going with a Harry Potter theme. It's Graham Potter and the Shower of Shite.
Oh, we're going with the Shower of Shite now, are we?
and the Deadly Header.
Okay, yeah, that works. Another unhappy one, I'm afraid. But I'm not going to lie, I am not at my best. And I suppose all of you aren't either after watching that. But yeah, today we will go through Wednesday night's game against Man City at the Etihad and today's homecoming against Brighton. With me, as always, is the one and only Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Say hello, Kevin.
Hello.
Would you all like to join me in wishing a very happy belated birthday to the legend who celebrated this Thursday gone? Happy birthday to the one and only Nigel Adkins.
Yeah, you didn't say it, I was going to.
I'm just kidding. Obviously, happy birthday to you too as well, Kev. Every year, it creeps up on me, yours, and I always seem to forget that you share your day with Nigel.
Yeah. I think with the student of mine, we were discussing, because she's got the same birthday as me, what famous people were born on the same day. There's not many. I mean, Douglas Adams, one of my favourite authors. Don't know who he is. Nigel Adkins, of course. Who the fuck is he? It's okay. People mean a lot to me, but not to anybody else. But yeah, I'm really proud to share a birthday with Big Nice.
How did you spend your day?
I was working, but I also had a massage, which is much nicer than the last one that Marina put me in for. And in the evening, we finally, because after all of the COVID lockdowns and stuff, just managed to put it off and forget about it. Last year I was given a gift certificate to fly in a wind tunnel, so we did that in the evening.
Oh, I did that a couple of years ago now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it?
No.
Yeah, it's quite strange. But yeah, no, I felt like a fish just banging my head against the wall of the aquarium. But yeah, Marina seemed to think I did quite well. But yeah, you should see my beard afterwards. I'll show you a photo. It's just mangled.
Parted. Yeah. Also, wishing all the mothers out there a very happy Mothering Sunday. I hope you all jetted out nice and early this morning to pamper your mother with gifts and socially distance, of course, and swiftly left and said, sorry, Mum, you know, Saints are on early, so I'll see you later. Because, yeah, that's exactly what I did. And I'm so glad I did that. Thank you very much, Saints, for once again ruining my week and continuing on the weekend as well. Kev, I just want to say, before we get into the Saints news, the announcement of Murray Walker's death yesterday.
Yes.
Horrible.
And he's gone. Had a good innings, so 97.
Yeah, very.
But yeah, growing up, he was very much part of our lives, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. Got so many good memories of Murray Walker, but yeah, rest in peace. Kevin, ITN News.
Yes, go on.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, I want to start off by congratulating Salford City in winning the Pizza Cup. I can't remember who they beat in the final yesterday, Kev. Help me out.
Some other shit team.
I mean, yeah.
How shit you have to be to what's been a non-league team until quite recently to lose to them on penalties as well.
And Kenny's gone.
Oh, is he now?
Yeah, he has, yeah. He's gone.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
He was our only hope. We might get someone good in now.
I know. And in terms of football, not that those up the road don't play it, but yeah, our new reporter, actually, Alex Haas, has brought you news this week that you can look out for on our Instagram and Facebook feed regarding the future of Mario Lemina and Ryan Bertrand. So please check out the latest on them on our page, and then there'll be more to come as well.
Very tasty indeed. Well done, Alex.
Saints B had another difficult outing on Monday night, losing 5-1 away at Blackburn. Jaden Smith with our goal. We remain 1 point behind Leicester in 12th place. It's really, really not looking good for them either. A little bit of transfer news. Vestergaard is on Mourinho's radar at Spurs. Apparently,
that is according to the Daily Mirror.
Daily Mirror, I would take
that with an absolute fuckload of salt.
Yeah, but still, nevertheless, I wouldn't blame him at the moment, to be honest.
Just want to briefly say that young goalkeeper, 19-year-old Jack Bycroft, he signed in a new contract to keep us at Mary's until 2024. So, yeah, hope that's a good sign.
Yeah, put him in now.
Yes. I don't know, wait until we play Leicester and then he can ship 4 or 5. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's an initiation ceremony for all keepers.
Yes. Last week we posed the question on Gal. We said discuss his ownership. And we had a message from Saints FC Memes on Instagram. And he said he doesn't really have a problem with him. Why make an unprofitable football club even more unprofitable just to be able to compete? The whole football system is fucked, not our tight-fisted owner. Many clubs have tried to buy success and failed spectacularly. Just look at them down the road, up the Saints. What do you make of that, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult position because, I mean, we are underfunded and we do need investment in certain areas and we're not getting that, and that's really come to bite us in the arse now. But I think it's more that we're paying the price for previous management decisions and transfer decisions that have gone wrong in relation to the squads. And we've said this before, be careful what you wish for. I can understand the anger and frustration of the Gow Out hashtag, but yeah, you could get someone in who's just going to asset strip and yeah, treat us as a pig to be fattened, as Gow would say.
Yes. And on the flip side of that, we had an email from Tony, and he says, if we want to be competing for the likes of the Europa League, or at least be trying, we need to have a bigger squad and more quality. We've seen time and time again how we can struggle with the goals. We saw it again today, didn't we? We need to give Ralph what he needs in terms of funding to strengthen in the summer. Gow has never shown interest in making us compete. He would love us treading water and him making a big fat profit. We need an owner who wants the best for the club, not just himself.
I mean, I don't know that it's him wanting the best for himself. I think that his hands are pretty much tied in that he can't really do much in terms of investing in the club, and it's not particularly pleasant for the Chinese authorities that they've got Chinese ownership of a football club, and they're making his life difficult as well. So, yeah, I mean, even if he wants to sell, now it's not the best time to sell. So I do not feel sorry for him, but I can understand why we're stuck with him, if that's the way you're putting it.
Yeah. Okay, and Alex has posed the question for next week. It's regarding the B team, so get in touch with us on them. Because we have a rich history with development, but lately it seems to be failing. They're facing relegation from Premier League 2, but it seems like the guys coming through aren't up to snuff either. And Ralph doesn't seem too impressed with them. He's only bringing them through in emergency situations or loaning too many out. So, you know, get in touch with us on In That Number Podcast at gmail.com, and we'll discuss that next week. Sorry, Kev.
Yeah, that is a problem, not just for the B team and for the first team, that we do actually have quite a big squad. It's just that you could probably field a full 11 out of all the players that we've lent out. Actually, exactly. We've got a starting 11, basically, that we've loaned out to various clubs throughout the leagues. And yeah, I mean, Wesley Hoot is still a Southampton player, you know, Lamina, Slattery, Angus Gunn, Jan Battery, Shane Long, you know, some of them even signed new contracts, Vokins, Hesketh, you know. List goes on. So, in my opinion, I think we could do with having them with us to work with rather than loaning them out. But, there you go.
What do you know?
Yeah.
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Okay then, Kev, Man City, 5-2, that's it, we'll leave it at that. On to Brighton. No, 5-2, Kevin De Bruyne with a brace, Riyad Mahrez with a brace, Edison with a brace, Guardiola with a brace, every fucker under the sun with a brace. And
it's like a fucking orthodontist out there, isn't it?
Yeah, Gundogan chipped in too, I suppose. Prowsey with the penalty for us, and Adams trying to make it close. But Kev, City were just too strong for us. And as strange as this sound, it wasn't a total disaster. I didn't feel bad losing 5-2 as I did today. And we had massive defensive errors. So, you know, there's nothing new. But we had moments where we looked half decent. And let's not forget, you know, this side looks destined for the title now. We started very well. I mean, we had the potential... It did have the potential to turn far worse than it did. I think we played worse and lost by fewer, like today, for instance. I know me and you were chatting during, I think it was half time in this game, and you weren't too pleased then. But how about now? No. I mean, how did you see that defeat?
There are some positives that you can look at. I was just really frustrated and annoyed by this game. Right from when the squad came out, and it's another confusing Ralph squad that had all the commentators either wondering how it's going to work or getting it completely fucking wrong. I don't think any of the broadcasters or mainstream media outlets got it right.
I don't think Ralph got it right either, to be fair.
No, not at all. But the first 15 minutes had me thinking, maybe he is onto something. But then, you know...
Reality.
I realised, and I guess the squad realised too, they can't defend for shit, and especially not against Manchester City.
No, and, well, I mean, he did opt for the 4-2-2-2, and I think we knew that he was going to rest the players so we could be assured of a victory against Brighton. Yeah, good decision that was in the end, yeah.
That worked out, yeah.
Not necessarily right off the City game, but it was always going to be, you know, a difficult task without a full strength squad. But he made the six changes, and, you know, Ings injured, replaced by Redmond. Teller, Minamino, Diallo, Walker Peters all rested and replaced by Stevens, Gineppo, Adams, and Salisu. McCarthy was replaced by Forster. I mean, were you happy with the selection? Because, I mean, Bertrand was playing on the right, Salisu was on the left, Stevens is in centre midfield.
It's a fucking weird one, isn't it? No, I wasn't really. I didn't think that was going to work out at all. And it was, I think now at this point in the season, it's a bit cynical to basically bin this game or not risk the players against the stronger side to try and keep them in against the games that we really need to win. Maybe it's, that is something that we should have been doing a lot earlier in the season, during that really bad run of form. Maybe, you know, not putting out the strongest of the strongest 11 each time. And, you know, two games a week or three games in 10 days or whatever. And causing all those injuries that we've been suffering from.
Yeah.
It's hard to take.
Definitely, yeah. But I say we started okay, but well, after City took the lead through De Bruyne, that was I suppose it was a well worked City goal. It was typical. But our play from then was pretty good, Kev, because I mean Redmond had a dig, didn't he? And not long after that, Vestergaard pulled off in the box.
Hey,
Laporte tugs him. Anyway, correct?
Yeah, I mean it wasn't the strongest of penalty shots. I mean, it was, you know, on the weaker side, but yeah, does put him.
Yeah.
Penalty, fine. I can take that.
Yeah, definitely. And then Prowsey goes right down the middle. 1-1. Happy days. We're smiling again.
Yeah. I mean, that goal that they did score, the De Bruyne one, I mean, that is their first real shot on goal. Not only that, it's their first time that they encroached into our box at all.
That just shows how easy it is once they're there.
Well, yeah, but once, you know, they were just waiting to pounce, weren't they? Yeah. Bertrand is, I mean, he's just asleep, isn't he? Zinchenko, spots that he can run into that little area there on the left, and real smart ball to pick out Foden. Mac does well to save the shot from Foden, but yeah, De Bruyne is right there to jump on the rebound, and he I don't know, I think there should be a defender there or thereabouts for as that, you know, line of defence. We were completely failed there.
Yeah, it won't be the first time in the week, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Despite the 5-2, Kev, and, you know, the seven goals and City extending their lead, blah, 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 the most talked about thing post-game was McCarthy taking out Foden. And VAR, I mean, I don't even know what VAR were looking at there, because Jonathan Moss says, no, that's not a penalty. VAR backed him up. But that's a penalty, surely, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're watching. It definitely wasn't the game.
No.
Fucking hell. I mean, it's refreshing to be on the right end of a VAR fuck-up for once. Macca really got away with that one.
He did.
I mean, Christ, he didn't get a shadow of the ball on it.
But, I mean, I just want to add that Foden was fantastic there. Because not only did he, you know, not go down, didn't take a dive, didn't complain. There was just no appeal whatsoever. But I tell you, he better not be pulling that shit for England in the Euros, because we need everyone at their diving best.
Yes, that taught him, didn't it? Yeah, go down when he can. Yeah, but he really, really wanted to score. He still, you know, he still had the ball, so all right, make a go for it. But then, you know,
fair play.
We got back and got into it. But yeah, maybe he just knew that City were going to absolutely fucking gangbangers anyway, so it didn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
No, and they took the lead through, well, Shea Adams giving a gift to Mahrez. Well, Adams just got the ball, he's tried a sideways pass, and
well, he's just rolled it along the 18-yard box.
Big no-no.
Pretty much, yeah, straight to Riyad Mahrez.
Well, worst person you could possibly give it to, and then, yeah, 2-1 City. And then just when you think we're going to go in at half-time, only a goal down, Gundogan makes it 3, and that's it. We're just like, well, fucking hell, not necessarily deserved it. It was quite, I mean, I think this is when me and you messaged back and forth, and it was, you were fuming. You were just like, I'm not happy at all. This is, and I wasn't as bad. I thought, well, do you know what? I said, we've had chances, and City don't look at their best. That goal, that third goal, really, really sunk us. And I believe that if we would have gone out into the second half, only 2-1 down, we would have had a better go at them for sure. I'm not saying maybe we would have lost 5-4. Who knows?
Yeah, right. Yeah, but I think the Adams one's hard to take. I say Adams. Yeah, the Riyad Mahrez goal, that Adams pretty much gave him on a play. We go in 1-1 or even 2-1 down at halftime, you're still in the match. But yeah, losing the first half 3-1, that's going to be a difficult team talk, especially you're looking at our bench and thinking, well, you know, can... who have we got there? Minamino?
Will Ferry?
Will Ferry. Yeah, Diallo, can they fight a firefight?
And then, you know, 10 minutes into the second half, and Mahrez again, and it's 4-1. Game over then, at that point.
I was just despondent then.
Well, you thought it was going to be a lot more. You thought, this is it. This is going to be another 8-9.
Yeah, they were gutters, weren't they? I mean, Maka had a decent save beginning that first half, just before the goal, and then Mahrez gets his second. I think the floodgates have opened. And then they barely, cut back to the match, and James Garden scored.
Yeah, that was really, really pleasing though, Kev. It was an instant, and I guess it's pleasing because we didn't refuse to. We refused to change our play. We didn't park the bus, and they wanted to make City work harder for their points. And fair play, they kept on, and they got a second goal. And say Ralph was comparing Che to a bottle of ketchup.
Yeah, one will come and then a lot more.
Yeah,
I suppose so. Yeah, he just needs that. That confidence to make those right split second decisions that he maybe hasn't, and pressure's really on to score a goal. I mean, that's the same for a lot of strikers though, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they prey on confidence, don't they? Then De Bruyne made it 5, with half an hour or so to go. But that was it, Kev. It turned out to be enough, and we wouldn't allow any more, so I suppose you have to look at that considering, 5 with half an hour still to go.
It's just that Man City didn't really fancy anymore. I mean, he took off most of their best players to rest them because the job had been done.
Yeah, took off most of their best players and then brought on Aguero, yeah.
Yeah, he needs a cameo. Even he didn't fancy a goal in the end. And, yeah, I think if parking the bus definitely isn't an option when you're 3-1, 4-1 down. But continuing playing that way is not really going to achieve what you need. I think if we'd have been planning on parking the bus, we should have done it from the beginning. But you can only do that. I mean, we've beaten City in the past, and it's been an early goal, and we've done just that, sat and parked the bus.
Yeah, but like Liverpool game as well.
Yeah, but I find that you can't do it against this team.
No, they will just, if you sit deep, the deeper you sit on them, the more trouble you're going to find yourself in. And we can't defend like that.
No, but I mean, there was no pressure in the midfield. I didn't see us getting forwards at all in that second half, really.
Nothing new there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a kind of rest game, really.
Yeah. I've got an interesting stat, right? Okay. In 2 games in Manchester, we've conceded 14 goals. Man City have conceded 13 in 16 games. That's incredible. What do you make of that?
I think I heard that either on Sky or the BBC or whatever. It's just a covert way of bringing up the 9-0, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not the first team to concede 5 at the Etihad, and I'm sure we won't be the last, not even the last this season, but, I mean... How many teams try to play like we did, though, Kev, on the plus? We had 10 shots, 5 on target, scored twice. There are positives, despite this heavy defeat.
When you go on social media or talk to you or other people about the match, it seemed to be a lot more positive than I am. But I've still got that sense of creeping dread that I had going into that Sheffield United win. Even after the Sheffield United win, we're not creating enough decent chances like that. I don't think this match showed that we turned a corner at all. And we've got a must-win match coming up against Brighton. And we're going to have to talk about that in a moment too. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can see the positives there, but they definitely don't outweigh the negatives for me.
No, okay. That's a fair point. I mean, Pep did say that for the first 20 minutes, we were the best that City have faced all season. So that's something that we need to look at. And
definitely a compliment. He always does talk favourably of Saints.
I don't know why. He always talks favourably of Redmond as well, but again, I don't know why.
I don't think they had a little pep talk after that match, so.
No. Man of the match for you, Kevin?
Not an easy one. I think Che had a decent match, I think. Found the back of the net on more than one occasion. Like, one was chalked off for being on offside, quite rightly. But I think he's definitely back in form. But for that absolute howler, I can't give it to him. So I'm just going to give it to Prowsey. Even though there wasn't a real bite to the midfield, I think the spells that when we were good, I think we can look to Prowsey. He had a couple of cracks, shots on goal. He scored a penalty, which they managed to slag off, even though he scored.
I'm going with Prowse as well. I think, you know, most shots, most passes, and slotted the penalty away at a crucial time as well, I might add, because the pressure was on there from 1-0 down. You need to take your chances against City when you get them, and he did. So, no biting, cutting edge to the team whatsoever.
Sweet. Jack fucking Stevens is not a midfielder.
No, but in spite of what we've been saying for years, that why not give him a go in midfield? Because he can't defend.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're playing two, that I think if you had a single holding midfielder and then, you know, a slightly higher...
a diamond shape, yeah.
Midfield trio, or a diamond, something like that. And maybe he could fit into the system. But I mean, in Ralph's system, I don't think he's got a place in it, to be honest.
No, I'm with you. Right, okay, so we have to talk about today's game, Brighton. Changes again. Same side that started at Sheffield United, bar Danny Ings. Bertrand back to his usual left back. Kyle Walker-Peters comes back in. Minamino and Diallo, like we expected, were back in. And I've got to say, Kev, there's no excuses, right? This is a great team. And the team made me happy. It's the best that we could have hoped for pre-game. I don't know, I was a little bit like, okay, but why don't they try switching Minamino and Teller around? Leave Minamino up top with Adams, just because, you know, of his composure in front of goal. But I don't know, maybe Ralph saw this as an opportunity for Teller to get off the mark. Yeah, right. But once again, awful second half. Same shit, just absolutely fucking clueless. And I if we can't beat Brighton at home, then who can we beat? Because I am so livid with this performance, second half in particular.
You've got a hope that the answer to that slightly rhetorical question is West Brom and Crystal Palace. Because otherwise we are fucked.
Palace are winning. Burnley beat bloody Everton yesterday. Everyone seems to be picking up points now. And Leeds picked up a point against Chelsea also. I don't even know where to start with this game, Kev. I don't want to talk about this game. It was just so difficult to watch, and it's the same thing every single game, that we just don't know what to do with the ball. How many sideways and backwards passes did we have in this game? Especially when you're chasing a game with 20 minutes to go. Where's the urgency? There is nothing there. I realise I'm getting loud and squeaky, but I can't help it. I don't know. Kevin, take over.
I think it's great that it was on the BBC, and they did have someone linked with Southampton who vaguely cares about it in the form of Mark Hughes. And from looking at the match, you'd think that he was back in charge. Because, I mean, we have a shot blocked, and somehow we managed... So if we keep possession of the ball, send it all the way back to the keeper, across the back line again. Yeah, no urgency at all. It's terrible. And that, again, from the set piece, right? Goal.
Shock, shock, shock.
Who'd have thunk it? I mean, we might as well. We could have just put out, apart from when we played Brighton under Mark Hughes, to be honest, Lewis Dunk, Bertrand's marking him for some unbeknown reason. It was a big bastard of a header, wasn't it?
Yeah, but there's no one on the post, and
no.
I think Forster looked a little bit slow.
Yeah, and he was just, he did react to it, and he got into the right place, but he was just a fraction of a second too late.
I mean, I'll have to ask Tim about this a little bit later, but maybe his vision was slightly blocked by his defence. I don't know, but from what I saw, he just looked a little bit too slow for me. And
well, I mean, Forster, he pulled off a decent save to set up that corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
16 minutes in, one goal down against Brighton.
At home. Yeah, at home. It's just, yeah. But, I mean, okay, the only good thing about this game was the Adams equaliser, and it was another beautifully struck volley. I catch that bottle again. He's having a lovely bit of form, I suppose. It's timely with Danny's absence, and that's 3 goals in 3. So that's the only good thing I can take from this. And I suppose that Fraser Forster save right before the half from Pascal Gross, because that was a heart in mouth moment. And he stretched down with his leg and denied him one on one. But yeah,
yeah, it was.
Yeah, but the Adams goal was a beauty again, wasn't it?
He's a cracky young, you know, he scores scorches, doesn't he, Jay Adams? It was a great ball in from Armstrong into the box. Bertrand's face. Lewis Dunk with a terrible defensive header, kind of scuffing it backwards straight to Sheridan's feet and then cracks it on the volley.
Beautiful.
Lovely stuff. But I think that sums up, I mean, this is, again, that there is a positive in this match, and the reaction to going 1-0 down seems to be positive. Like, oh, shit, yeah, we actually do need to get our fingers
out. So where
was
that reaction from going 2-1 down?
Non-existent, yeah. But it was too late by then. I mean,
they don't move the ball quick enough. They're just so... It's like they're playing with... Like they've got all the time in the world when they haven't. Do they realise that they need to score? It's like they don't care.
No, I think, you know, in some matches it's taken the last, you know, 10 minutes. I think like that Everton match, they really piled it all on in the last 10 minutes, and Everton were skillful or lucky enough to defend their way out of it. But here, I mean, it wasn't really until the fourth official had lifted the board that they started thinking, oh shit, you know, time's running out, and started to pile into the box. But yeah, awful.
Yeah, I mean, at half time, it was tight. It was a tight game. It was cagey. It was, I think Brighton probably started better, obviously, you know, the goal. But after that goal, you said, positive in the game, that they played the best spell. I think Brighton just upped it a little bit before the break when they had a spell of corners. But Saints were the better side. And is that how you saw it at half time?
Pretty much, yeah, slightly better, I would say. I think, we didn't collapse after going 1-0 down. That's already a positive. We got a goal, great. Definitely still in it, and it was ours for the taking, I suppose. But Graham Potter's quite a smart manager. He gets a lot of plaudits despite their position in the league, in a way that I think Ralph doesn't get anymore. But he shows why he's so popular.
He's a very, very good manager. I think he's very, very underrated.
Yeah,
because the games that they win, the commentator picked this up, but the games that they win, they don't have the possession. They just hold their shape well, and they know how to defend. Mm. They just haven't got the quality.
They don't have to score goals for shit.
Apart from against us, you know. That's...
Well, that's nothing unique about Brighton, is it? But that tactical substitution, it's comes off. It wasn't a particularly bad match, right? That Zakiri comes on, changes the shape, and they've got three at the back. 4-3 midfield, so it's like a 3-4-1-2, and they really started piling on the pressure, and that Trossard goal was the fruit of that labour.
Too easy.
And then once that goes in, they can switch to 5 at the back and sit deep and defend with that 5-man line and make things difficult for us, and they chill the game out like that. So
yeah,
that's what you do.
It's not, I mean, Brighton aren't a fantastic side. I don't want to, we're making them look better than what they are, with that goal especially, because they look like bloody Barcelona. But it's just our response from that one, Kevin. It's just not doing enough with the ball. It's just, like I said before, they feel like they've got endless amount of time. They're not urgent enough, not positive enough. And defensively, we just don't have any confidence at the moment. You can see that in Bednarek. And Forster's distribution again. How many times did he kick the ball out of play under no pressure whatsoever?
Yep.
We couldn't break them down. I knew at that point, when we went 2-1 down, there's no way we're going to be able to break them down, because all they need to do is hold their shape. We've got nothing. We cannot trouble them whatsoever. And what does Ralph do? He brings on Redmond.
Yeah, I mean, his options are limited. But, I mean, this is...
But why does he insist on bringing Redmond on all the time? He's done nothing for weeks. And Brighton were just getting deeper and deeper and allowing us to attack more because they know that we're not going to do anything. It's so fucking sad because I know the only way that we were going to score is from a set piece. We need a penalty or we need a piece of magic from Ward-Prowse. And we weren't going to get it.
Well, I mean, you did have a couple of free kick chances there, didn't you? I mean, there's one about the hour mark.
One at the wall, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did think that that was deflected and going in, but yeah, that went wide. And yeah, Prowse, he's not on the best form for free kicks at the moment.
He's not. That's coming at a bad time as well, isn't it? And
well, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think just, you know, his confidence is non-existent, really.
I think he was poor today, Kev. Ward-Prowse on the ball, I thought he was awful. Just there was nothing. He just kept going backwards and sideways. He never went forward at all.
Diallo was weak as well.
Yeah, but Diallo was playing the ball forward more than Ward-Prowse was, and Armstrong was too. But
I mean, they're both getting beaten for the ball.
Yeah. This one just really, really hurts. It really does. So many of our players played like shit today.
It's a damning indictment that when, if Adam Lallana has a good match, you know you're doing something very wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that's 10 defeats and 12. I just can't move the ball. And yeah, I don't know. It's just backwards. Kev, summarise for me.
Well, I mean, on the beat, they described it as desperate from Saints, but I'd go even further. I'd say it's not desperate. You do need effort for desperation, at least. It was just completely uninspiring. I mean, it's just more of the same.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, then even more of the same. Potter showed that he can make a tactical change to switch the formation, change tactics that way. Ralph does like-for-like subs, keeps the same shape, tries doing the same thing, but with different players, many of whom have had pretty poor form of late. Yeah, Redmond, I can't remember the last time he did something useful. Gineppo runs hot and cold. And Lindelöf on the 87th minute, what the fuck's he going to do?
Mm, yeah, man of the match up. I don't think anyone deserves it today. I just feel so let down. But I mean, I'm going to give it to Adams just because of the only good thing that I remember in the game. And, you know, he's on a scoring run, so Adams for me. But, yeah, no one deserves it.
I would... I don't know. I think if anyone has earned it, it is Adams. I don't think it was his fault that he was starved of service there. He did get... He tried something with it. Yeah, that magical goal again. He's back on a goal-scoring run. That's great. Yeah, I didn't give Jay man of the match for the previous match because of that error, so I'll have to give it to him for the Brighton match.
Okay. Now, we have to go to Bournemouth next week for... I know, I just keep on saying this. Every single week it becomes more and more crucial, but this now it's... Yeah, it's massive. Absolutely massive. So we go to Bournemouth. We're going to check in with Tim and get his thoughts on the upcoming game. Okay, now we'd like to check in with Tim. How are you this week?
I feel like shit.
Yeah, man, I'm guessing just because of the football.
Yeah, two losses and one too many drinks last night, but I'm making it.
Good. I'll make
it. Were you on the lash as well yesterday?
Kev was as well, yeah. Obviously, Kev's always on the lash.
I just had a few beers. It's really nice weather now and just a few too many, and that's pretty much it.
If you can, Tim, can you summarise that Man City game for us?
Shit. entertaining shit.
Yeah, okay.
That was probably the best three-loss game I've ever seen them play. Yeah. They did a decent job. They had a few good strong attacks and took it to Man City when they, like I said, they played well, but they gave up too many mistakes in the long run, and it was entertaining, but it was still shit at the same time. So entertaining shit.
Man of the match?
Ward-Prowse.
Oh, that makes it all three. All three of us went for Jimmy. Okay, and try and understand what you're feeling for the Brighton game, because I still don't understand.
Morning after shits. it's just basically, I mean, at this point in time, what the fuck's up here? Like, what's going on? Like, there's something that needs to be attended to. And if it's not a player shakeup, it's tactical or whatever it might be, this streak is got to stop. And I don't want to have to be playing the, are we worse than Fulham, Newcastle, or Brighton? Well, I guess in this case, Brighton's going to be fine. But are we worse than Fulham or Newcastle to be able to survive? I don't want to have to deal with that.
At this stage, no, we're not.
No.
No. Do you want to give a man of the match? Well, me and Kev had to. It was not that we wanted to.
Jeez, it's really tough. Looking ahead, it's probably going to be Adams. He probably put in the biggest, the best shift out of all of them and went 3 for 3. He's very streaky. I've never seen such a streaky player before, but he's got 7 goals on the year now and a few assists to match. And I mean, if you would have a 10 or 11 or a 12 goal season as a striker, if he's on pace to have that, if he has a 10 goal season, it's all right. Like, it's decent. Could be a lot worse. So I'll go with Adams. He's the only one. Even Armstrong didn't have the best of days too, and he's been our go-to for progressive movements going forward.
Yep. 3 for 3 in goals, and he's got 3 for 3 from us, man of the match. So yeah, we all went, Adams also. Tim, we got an even bigger game. They just seem to be, everyone now just seems to be a cup final, doesn't it? But we are playing in the cup next week against Bournemouth.
Dean Courts. No, I'm not going to call it that because we don't get paid for it.
Okay then, Tim. Yeah, Bournemouth.
Bournemouth currently, they are 7th in the table. They are 5 points off of 6 in that last playoff position. They just got beat by Barnsley 3-2 in the 80th minute. Daryl Dyke, who is a American player, he's been fantastic for them for the last few games. He's on loan from Orlando City SC. And overall, they've got a Premier League level lineup in some capacity, because if you look at top to bottom in their roster, they've got a number of players that have transcended over from their last year, but then on top of that, a couple other players that they brought in who have Premier League level experience. So while the last few games haven't been the best for them, they just lost to the hottest team in England, so it's hard to be able to go against Barnsley there, which is crazy to think about that we're talking about Barnsley on this podcast. But and for those who don't or haven't heard of it, gaffer.io, it's a championship fantasy league. So I've been a huge proponent of that and following that extensively on top of watching an ESPN Plus. So seeing Bournemouth have a ton of players that are decent, you know, that are decent for the championship level and low to mid-tier Premier League level. The Asmir Begovic, is it Begovic?
Begovic. Yeah.
Begovic, he's a cheap offer in goal at 5.6 right now. So he's up there. And then Solanke, who basically is what Rian Brewster can really hope to be next year, because he's actually done.
Brewster, don't you?
Man, if you, that's what you gotta do. You know, you do absolute shit in the Premier League for a number of years, for so long. And then you come out and you become a top 5 point leader in, for forwards out there. So Solanke's been doing a decent job over there. Recently their lineup has gone in, but back and forth and flip flop between a 4-2-3-1 and a 4-3-3. So they've got a few talents in there that, and some names that we're going to recognize. Solanke, like I just mentioned, Philip Billing, they've got Steve Cook, Adam Smith, Lloyd Kelly.
They've still got Jefferson Lerma, haven't they?
Yes, they do. Jefferson Lerma, they still got them. Stanislas is still there. So they've got a lot of people that are, filtering over from
there.
And they, recently they've been starting a CCV, so Cameron Carter-Vickers, who's American as well, but also is on loan from Tottenham. Mm-hmm. And on the bench, they've had Sam Surridge, Jack Wilshere, and Chris Meppham, all players who at least can have the quality to play in some capacity and some decent, and pretty decent. And of course, then Shane Long is on loan there from us. So he won't be able to play in the game just because he's cup tied to us. And also that puts down their forward depth. They've got a few wingers, but they, outside of Solanke, they really don't have too many people that are a stellar up top who can, you know, can be counted on to score every now and then. So expect them to line up in a 4-3-3 with Groeneveld, Solanke, Stanislas up top. Jefferson Lerma, Billing, yeah, Lewis Cook, for your midfield. Lloyd Kelly, Steve Cook, CCV, Adam Smith, and then Begovic in goal. Cause Long won't start, so they'll have more wingers out there than that. And so they're gonna put their best lineup forward. They're gonna wanna push for us too. So, we last played them in, right at the end of last season, so it was July 19th of 2020. We beat them 2-0 away, and it was kind of like the nail in the coffin. Danny Ings scored in the 41st minute, but then Che scored in like the 90 plus 2. It was like a last minute, he like slid across the field, and everyone was just like, everybody on board was just like, fuck. Yeah, we're getting relegated at that point. Like, they just knew it, and, which was, it was a good game for us to realize that we can continue on our positive run, and now look at us, we're on a tailspin. And how we're going to go, what we're looking to do, we're going to field a top lineup. There's no reason that we wouldn't want to go out there full speed. So what you saw today is going to be something we're going to see against them next week. I don't expect any rotation at all whatsoever from what we've seen today. Maybe one person, maybe Minamino out for somebody else. Then again, I forget, is Minamino cup tied?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Minamino. All right, so Minamino will be rotated out, and Gineppo or something will go in there. Predictions, it's going to be tough. I think we're going to have to take him to penalties, and at that point, it's just a crapshoot.
You're going for a draw, are you, Tim?
Yeah, I'm going for a draw.
What, 0-0, 1-1?
They'll go 1-1, and we'll go with Fraser Foster is going to be in goal, Forster is going to be in goal, and he's going to save a real shitty Phil Billing whiff kick or something like that.
Okay.
All right.
Kev, I just want to knock off on their FA Cup run with you, Kev. I mean, they've managed to get to the quarterfinals by beating Oldham, Crawley, and Burnley. So only one Premier League team they've beat there.
And that's
Burnley. Are you going to make it? Are they going to make it too, Kev?
Ooh, I hope to fuck they aren't. I've sort of written off Bournemouth a little bit as a weaker team. You know, they're the weakest team in the cup at the moment. Still,
well, that's arguable. We're still in it.
I mean, they're the lowest placed team anyway. But yeah, I mean, listening to Tim go through their lineup, they still got most of the players from the Premier League era who, you know, managed to stay up each season. So, yeah, they've definitely got the power. Fuck, it's not going to be easy.
It's not, is it? It's becoming more, as I said to you, it's becoming more and more important. And I don't think at any stage were any Saints fans, me included, prepared to be losing this game or even be thinking about losing this game until today. Because now I suddenly am. I'm thinking, this is, we're going to lose this now.
Yeah, I mean, about 6 weeks ago or so, a month ago, I mean, we were both on quite a poor run of form. So, but they seem to pick it up a little bit with a few wins recently. And, you know, they're still more or less in that promotion fight. Whereas, yeah, we're seeing ourselves drawn into a relegation battle. So we've got going in very different directions. But, I mean, even throughout that losing streak, the cup matches were the standout performances. We did well. Please tell me that I'm right and that we are going to win and come out of this and we're going to win 2-1.
Okay, so Tim's going 1-1, Kevin's going 2-1, and I'm going to join you in that one, Kevin.
No. No one's going with the Bournemouth win?
No, I can't do it. I still can't do it. I still believe that we are different. It is a different team in the cup, isn't it? And I'm just hoping that they can realise that, you know, the league form is so shit at the moment.
Yep.
The cup form, however, is not. I mean, I wouldn't have fancied us taking on Arsenal right now, but, you know, we have overcome far worse than Bournemouth, and I think we can just about sneak it again. I don't think, Tim, I'm going to be able to handle a penalty shootout. So I'm going to say we snatch it before that happens.
Okay.
So yeah, 2-1 for me.
Hi, I'm Matt Letitia, and thank you for listening to In That Number.
Okay, welcome to Extra Time. We'll kick off with predictions. From the City game, I went 4-0, Kevin went 2-0, and Tim went 3-0. All got City wins. So the scores are now 38 to me, 39 to Kevin, and 29 to Tim. And the Brighton game, wow, I mean, none of us predicted Brighton to win. So the scores are still the same, 38, 39, 29. Wife Wars, Gemma stupidly went 1-0 to Saints. This is the Man City game, by the way. Marina went 3-1 to City, and Abby went 3-1 to City. So the scores are 24 to Gemma, 21 to Abby, and 19 to Marina. And nobody predicted a Brighton win, so scores remain the same there. Super 6, round 41 was Kevin Byrne on 17 points. Round 42 was Neil Parsons and Luke Kitterman on 11 points. The overall lead, Jason Lewis on 342. Guys, Fantasy Premier League, how did we get on last week?
Yeah, I got 61 last week. I had Son and Kane, and I chose the wrong one as captain.
Oh, dear. And Tim, how about you? How'd you get on last week?
I sucked ass last week. pulling it up right now, and I had 32 points last week. It was terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
That's all right for me.
Making up for it this week, though.
Well, I got 57 last week, didn't I?
Aaron Cresswell on the bench. Ooh.
Yeah, I have Aaron Cresswell on the bench. That sucked.
Well, do you know what sucked this week? I have Ben Chilwell is never playing, so I've left him on my bench and put Alonso in. So Alonso didn't play, Chilwell played and kept a fucking clean sheet. Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, oh God, well, 61. I still want to talk about this week because I had Lewis Dunk in my team.
Oh, well done, Kevin.
Every cloud, eh? yeah, I mean, it's all pretty much the same. Matt Markstone's good. So is Freddie. We're not. Lucy Heiner, still the best. Bobby Brown has come back from the dead again. Our performances in fantasy football pretty much as good as Saints are at the moment.
I didn't think it was that bad. So our predictions at the start of the season, we did that, if you remember, that championship snake draft. Tim, do you want to, you know, give us a quick update?
So currently right now, for our championship snake draft. So just to rehash a little bit, each of us at the beginning got to pick a group of number of teams. So we have eight each together, and our goal was to either get the most amount of points scored or the best table placement. So we didn't really decide on that at the beginning, but
I think Kev came up with it, but I forgot to write it down. So we're going to have to check with what Kev said.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, either way, I'm winning. So,
yeah.
All right. Looking at it right now, there's for all the games played and the total points. So, Kevin, you have 304 points. Ray, you have 378. Tim has 416. So then in reverse, so basically meaning golf scoring for table placement, the lower score is the better. Kevin, you have 117. Ray, you have 95, and I have 88.
Kev, you're getting spanked, mate.
Well.
It's crap for you, isn't it?
He's got Brentford, and that's pretty much it, because he chose Preston, Nottingham, Bristol, QPR, Sheffield Wednesday with the 6-point margin.
We said we wouldn't include the
all right.
So I get an extra, six points.
So you get extra 6 points. So
six
there,
points.
That's
yeah.
Like a world.
Hang on. Yeah, but haven't they had that rescinded now?
I thought they had it.
They had the 12 points, and now it's 6 points.
That's right. Yeah, they cut it in half, didn't they?
He has Middlesbrough and Wickham, where
Wickham were one of the last, though, so let's not laugh too much at Kevin.
So I have four of the top seven with Watford, Swansea, Reading, and Bournemouth. Ray, you've got Norwich and Barnsley. Mm. Norwich and Barnsley, who are in the top six.
Barnsley were a sleeper. Nobody wanted him.
yeah. Barnsley, I didn't, no one expected them to do anything.
I did. They were my second pick. Before. Yeah, a long time ago. Okay, thanks, Tim. That's cool. A Russian phrase this week, Kevin.
Yeah, just a brief summary of this week's Saints performances. So, yeah, this week's Russian phrase is Polnaya Khuynya.
Polnaya Khuynya. Wow.
Полная, you got to get the ха, ха. Полная хуйня. Полная хуйня.
Полная хуйня.
Хуйня.
Хуйня. Good luck, Tim. Good luck.
Хогная хуйня.
You have some respect for our language.
Полная хуйня.
It sounds like, it's basically, it's like if I just took a shot of vodka and then threw some peanut butter in my mouth, I could probably talk Russian.
That would probably be the Russian reaction to having peanut butter after vodka. Okay.
Vodka with the peanut butter chaser? That actually sounds good.
Yeah, I'll have to stay away from that. Okay, what does that mean?
When you drink vodka, you must suffer. yes, it means total bollocks.
How appropriate. Total bollocks. But,
bullshit,
guys,
for our American listeners.
Yeah. Yes, I think that is it this week. Next week, Tim, you're going home.
I'll be in Chicago, so won't be on the cast, and hope you all have some good time.
Yeah, well, let's hope. We've got to beat Bournemouth first, but yeah, so it'll just be me and Kev next week. So, yes, until then, over to Franny and Klaus.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints. Up the Saints.
The shower of shite, absolute fuckload of salt. Getting it completely fucking wrong. Can't defend for shit. It's a fucking weird one. The VAR fuck up for once. City were gonna absolutely fucking gangbang us anyway, so. Jack fucking Stevens.
I feel like shit. Entertaining shit. Morning after shits. Shit. What the fuck's up here? Shits. Absolute shit.
I hope to fuck they aren't.
So shit at the moment.
I sucked ass last week.
Fucking clean sheet.
Fuck off. Total bollocks. Sports Social Podcast Network.